Second Chronicles chapter 10 and 1 Kings 12 is what we're studying now, starting on. But we looked at the last few verses in 2 Chronicles chapter 9 last time, and really we're trying to set the stage for what's coming next with the division in the kingdom. And we were noting how a high point had been reached in Israel's history that was not going to be and never would be matched again in its height and its duration. And from those standpoints, this has been the high point in all of the history of Israel, the physical nation of Israel in the Old Testament. We saw at the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 9, when he was talking about and concluding Solomon's reign, he again summarized the riches that Solomon had and what was brought to him. And one of the things that we also wanted to keep in mind, as we read in chapter 9, 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 26, along with the wealth of Solomon, as it's summarizing his reign, preparing us for what's coming next. At this point in time, what are the dimensions of the kingdom of Israel? What is its domain or territory? Let's go ahead and read that verse again in 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 26. He says, "And he reigned over all the kings from the river, even into the land of the Philistines, and to the border of Egypt." What is the river? That's the Euphrates River. Why isn't it the Jordan River? I mean, obviously the Jordan River. We will find reference to the Jordan River where he will refer to that river, the river. In this context, when he's talking about the boundaries of the territory of Israel, why would the Jordan River not be what he's talking about here?
They had territory on both sides of the Jordan.
That's right. So the Jordan River would not be, that was a significant landmark within the territory of Israel, but it was not a border because the tribes of Israel, you had 9.5 tribes on the west side, and then remember there were 2.5 tribes of Israel that had its territory on the east side of the Jordan River. And that was the territory that had been occupied. What were the two kings, the two Amorite kings that ruled over that territory? Gilead and Bashan, and Israel took that in battle. And during Moses' time, before Moses' death, and at which time Joshua took over, and then they crossed the Jordan River to the west side. But they first conquered this territory on the east side, and that was the territory that was ruled over by which two Amorite kings? Yes, Sihon and Og, exactly. What else is noteworthy about Og that he tells us about in Scripture? I know we're summarizing a lot of things. We could spend the next several hours reading through all the material on this, but what else do we know about Og? What about his dimensions? Not just his kingdoms, but his own personal dimensions. He was a giant. That's primarily where the giants, those giants that we lived in that time, that the spies that went into Canaan, that's where they saw them, in that area on the east side of Jordan. Og was one of them. The children of Anak, the Anakim. And so, they were then wiped out by the Israelites. But those spies that went into Canaan way back when Israel first had left Egypt, they saw that. And other than Joshua and Caleb, what was their thought upon seeing them? Let's head back to Egypt. They saw the size of those men as well as their cities and their fortified cities and their walls and all of that, and they felt like grasshoppers. They were thinking about the physical side of the equation, but who were they leaving out of that equation? God. In the size of the man, what was that to God? I mean, God's the one who made him that big, and God was the one who could unmake him, and did. I mean, so they, it was no issue for them. Joshua and Caleb understood that. God said he was going to give them that land, and that's what we're focusing on at this time, right at this moment, because we're seeing that Solomon reigned over all that territory that God had promised. God had promised that land to them. And that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis to chapter 15. And at that time, and the Lord appeared, this is one of the times when the Lord appeared to Abram and spoke to him. Earlier in the chapter, he was told in verses 4 and 5 that first of all, he was going to give him numerous descendants as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky for multitude that would proceed from him, that would be his own descendants from his bowels. And then he was going to give them that land of Canaan, as he goes on to speak about in detail in verses 12 through 16. Also at that time he foretold a 400-year period in bondage in a land that, of course, turned out to be Egypt that he was referring to, though he doesn't name Egypt there. He's describing what was going to happen there. And then when the wickedness of the Amorites was full, then he was going to give them that land of Canaan and promise them that. And then he mentions the dimensions of the territory he was going to give them. God was very precise about it. It was not just a general, well, I'm going to give you the land of these nations. He named the nations in verses 19 through 21, but it was very precise about the territory that they occupied that he promised to give them in verse 18 of Genesis 15.